morning and welcome to Lambda Weekly. I'm David Taffet and I'm here in the studio with Laron Landis. The late Patty Fink will be joining us shortly, we think.
You're listening.
The show before us has that on continuous. I never look for that. This is Lambda Weekly, the world's longest running gay and lesbian, fun for the whole family show in the country. And our guest today is Jennifer Renee Poole. Jennifer, are you there?
Certainly am.
There you are. Jennifer is running for city council in Houston at an at-large seat. She is also the host of our counterpart in Houston. You knew we had a counterpart in Houston.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Oh, yeah. How long have you been on the air Jennifer?
Well, the show itself has been on the air for, in one incarnation or another, for about 30 years. It began under a name by the name of Wildenstein, and then it evolved into the Gay and Lesbian Voices. And then finally we picked out something because we didn't want to leave anybody out because, you know, the GLBT voices, or if you tried to say, you know, gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender voices, it got awfully cumbersome on the air, so now we just call it Queer Voices.
And you know what's funny with our name, Lambda Weekly, I don't think was the original name of this show, but it started, you know, when the station started, and and within a year, the name was Lambda Weekly, and we'll have people like our intern, Alex, had to ask me, why is it called Lambda Weekly? And people now just don't use the Lambda as the gay symbol anymore,
right.
But back 30 years ago, That was the symbol for gay pride, before pride flags, before all these other symbols, before triangles were used, and that's why we use Lambda. It's just all-encompassing, and we haven't bothered changing it. So,
it's always fun to hear part of the history of some of our shows, especially when they're long-running.
Yeah.
And, of course, we're on KPFT in Houston. And by the way, I want to be clear, I don't want to leave out Jack and Brian, so I'm co-host. A Queer Voice.
You are a co-host. You are a
yes.
co-host. And I don't know Brian. I do know Brian. I don't know Jack. And Brian, I need
Jack Zielinski is the executive producer.
Oh, okay.
And Jack has been on the air at Queer Voices for 20 years, I believe, or more.
Oh, okay.
And,
wow.
Yeah, he is a bit of gay history in Houston.
Well,
he's been around a long time, sort of like Ray Hill. You know,
well,
he never
I've
goes
been
away.
On this show for 20 years, but I don't think of myself as being part of history. Laron thinks of me as being part
yes,
of history.
Yes, I do. I definitely do.
Yeah.
Well, I've only been on the show a little less than 6 years, and so...
a newcomer.
I'm still the newcomer. I'm still the baby.
Yeah, Laron's been with me for 13 years, so he's the baby here.
Yes. So,
now, one of the things that that is really interesting is we actually had a co-host who ran for city council also, and he had to leave immediately as soon as he announced his plans. And that was back in the early 1980s. He was the first openly gay person to ever run for office here in Dallas. And that was his name was Bill Nelson, and people here in Dallas know the name from the Nelson Thibodeau Clinic is named after him, after he and his partner. Are you the first person from your station to run for office?
No, as a matter of fact, there have been several who have had their own shows or been co-hosts of other shows who announced for city council and. Some won, some didn't, but unfortunately, I'm not the first. It seems like coming from community radio, a lot of people have that fervor for politics.
Mm-hmm. And actually, on our station, everybody in Dallas knows the name John Wiley Price has had a show on our station on and off over the years. It's not on right now, but one of our KNON people who's gone on to other offices. But you are running as openly transgender.
Yes.
Openly part of the gay and lesbian, transgender, GLBT community. Obviously, you have people who you're not going to be able to hide behind it or at all because you have this radio show where you have as big a mouth as we do here.
It's awfully hard to be the the transgender voice of Houston, Texas, and run for city council and say, no, not really.
Right, yeah. So,
as I always say on the show, the T is no longer silent.
Right. GLB.
T. Yeah. T. It's now a capital T.
Right. Now, you've just really begun your campaign. Every other city in Texas, just about, the elections are in May. Houston holds normal elections on Election Day. So your election cycle is Election Day is on Election Day, the first Tuesday in November. Mm-hmm. And
right, that's November 8th this year.
Or first Tuesday after the first Monday, actually, is when Election Day is.
It's, yeah, so, November 8th is the latest you can have a November election under the law.
Right. So you're going to have to leave your show temporarily while you're running.
Yes. When I first filed papers for establishing a treasurer, mm-hmm. which in many other areas or cities might entail, well, you'll have to, due to the rules and regulations, you're going to have to leave the show. And so I did step down for a week, and until we discussed it with KPFT management, and they got with their attorneys. Also, we reviewed the city ordinances, and so as it turned out, I can actually, as I have, remain on the air until Labor Day. After Labor Day, I'll have to step down from in front of the microphone till after the election.
Oh, okay, and then after the election, you can go back on.
Jennifer, what...
Absolutely.
No, I was just going to ask...
If I win, I can come back on in a... Should the unfortunate mishap that I not win, then I'd be back on earlier.
Okay.
Jennifer, how long have you been contemplating running, and why do you want to run?
Oh, let's see. I think I was 7 or 8 years old. laugh at that. But I was always running for something in school.
Hmm.
You know, whether it was the class president in elementary school or in middle school, student body president, the class president through high school, college. But when I got out into real life after college and graduate school and started working and all, realizing who and what I represent, I realized that in that era, our society wasn't going to vote for me. I would never be able to serve, my fellow citizens in elected office. I just sort of, so I set it on the back burner.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of those dreams that GLBT people sometimes have to set aside because the way society treats us or reacts to us.
So you're,
however,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
But as time went on, guess what? You live long enough, things change. And when I came out and began my transition back in the 90s, I was suddenly confronted with the true reality. Not like it was a surprise, the true reality of the depth of prejudice that people have toward things they don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
And being a transgender person, most people don't understand that. And what happened was I had a very, very good job. They just said, no, we can't have you here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a bit more painful than that emotionally, but that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so suddenly I found myself going from top of my career in Houston to unemployable, which was a bit overwhelming at the time, but, I struck out on my own to find jobs and didn't get it. Well, that stimulated the fervor that, I'm not going to stand for this. What can I do? What can one person do? Well, you know what? Sometimes one person can't do as much as a group of people can do. So I started volunteering with various organizations, volunteered for the Anise Parker's campaign when she was running,
mm-hmm.
originally back in the 90s, and was there that night at Reva's restaurant when she got elected finally. Mm-hmm. And it was that night that I realized that maybe that dream is of being in elected office is not that impossible anymore.
Mm-hmm.
She created recreated a dream in me that I wanted to follow.
Mm-hmm. And that was what I was going to ask you. Do you think somebody from the GLBT community can actually get elected in Houston?
Well, you know, I know it's a difficult for people around the nation mm-hmm. to understand, but it's amazing how that happened.
Yeah. You know, I was down there on the night that she was actually elected, and I was over at the media table. And covering it for the Dallas Voice, and I was sitting between somebody from the Houston Chronicle and the New York Times. And it was funny reading stories that went out around the world, because it wasn't a Dallas Voice article that that went out on the news wires, it was the other two. How many things that I said ended up in their articles, because because one of the main questions everybody had was, how can this happen in Houston? And afterwards, and I gave them, well, in Dallas we have Lupe, who's our sheriff, who's a lesbian, and in Austin the district attorney is a lesbian, and Dallas has had six or seven gay men on the city council over the last 20 years. You know, and I just gave them a whole list. So in Texas, people very often end up voting for the best person as opposed to the best person who happens to be straight. They vote for the best person and the person that thinks they think that will represent them the best. But afterwards, we're in the back, and Anise is having a press conference, and several of the TV people are there too, like CNN and CBS, and they all kept asking her the gay question. And you know how she is with the gay question. You ask her the gay yeah. question, and her answer is, you know, I think a lot of people will be interested in that, but, you know, in South Houston we have a flooding problem, and that's something that I really do feel that I need to take care of as soon as I get into office, and we'll also be working on the budget. And, you know, and she completely goes off the gay topic. Finally, she looked at me. She said, you know, I'd like to hear a question from the gay press. and so I
avoid the gay question and ask for the gay press.
Well,
I love it.
Because she was so tired of that stupid question, how did you get elected? Because the answer to that was, I was on the council for three terms, and then I was controller for three terms, and I guess people in Houston thought I was the most qualified because I had the most experience working in city government, right? And when,
oh,
it came,
yeah.
when it came down to it, that's what that election was about. The other thing that struck me about that election, and we're just going off on another topic, that night when she was on stage and introduced her family, her partner, and her three kids, everybody in that room just broke out into applause. And when I say everybody, it was the straight people, because the gay people in that room were in tears.
Oh, yeah.
And you were there, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and we didn't know each other at the time.
No, I'd been working the polls all day. I was the grungy one over in the corner
yeah.
who didn't have time to change. I came right from the polls to the event.
But you know what I'm talking about. Everybody was just in tears that day, that night, when she introduced her family. But the straight audience, which was 90% of the people there, just broke out into applause and cheered her family. It was wonderful.
Night, and I'm going to digress a moment.
Well, that's all we're doing is that, digressing.
Yeah, that, we're digressing, are we? The night that she won her first election, and we were at Reva's restaurant. And by the way, I've already set my the election night event at Reva's. In honor of that.
Oh, that's nice.
But I was there. I was there with my partner at the time, and I stood there watching it. And when they announced it, I broke into tears.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that night, we started cheering for her, and then said, "Mayor, Mayor, Mayor."
Mm-hmm.
That night,
yeah.
She was elected to city council.
Huh. As any candidate has, they're going to have an opposition. how much of your opposition have they brought up the gender issue so far, as opposed to actual real issues?
Thus far, it hasn't been an issue at all.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
good.
That's not to say it hasn't been a public issue. When I announced my candidacy at a press conference, that was the first, you know, I talked about the elephant in the middle of the room first thing. I always use the line that after I say I'm running for Houston City Council and how much I love the city and how we can really make it greater, I say, okay, and that sound you hear is the elephant in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And then I come to with that. And the reason is because I don't want it to be something somebody makes an issue when it's really not an issue.
Mm-hmm.
But I did that day. And so the headline in the local press was transgender candidate running for city council.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's the last time that's appeared in the paper.
That's great.
When
it
I
is.
Have been quoted in the paper, when I have been interviewed, you know, on the street, not a sit-down interview,
mm-hmm.
but transgender doesn't even show up in the article.
Mm-hmm. And that's great. When our
which is a respect for from the media that I had not anticipated.
Yeah, when our first openly gay city council person, first openly gay, not our first gay city council person, but first openly gay.
It's like the
make
first
that
transgender
distinction.
Candidate, well, the first open transgender candidate.
Right. But when our first openly gay city council person was on council, the Dallas newspaper, I think they didn't even realize they were doing this, but they would say, Craig McDaniel, the first openly gay member of the city council, announced funding to repave Turtle Creek Boulevard. Craig McDaniel, the first openly gay member of the city council, announced that the city would be breaking ground on the new arts. The first openly, and so we abbreviated that to first openly gay became FOG, so we'd address him as Craig McDaniel FOG. Because it was so ridiculous, and finally we got the morning news to stop addressing him unless he was talking about a gay issue, to stop addressing him as Craig McDaniel, first openly gay, because it was idiotic at some points when he's talking about paving the streets. It has nothing to do. These aren't the gay streets that he's paving.
And that's not the gay asphalt.
And it's not the gay
asphalt.
It wasn't
lavender.
That it wasn't. It was just blacktop,
right.
You know?
Mm.
So, but the other thing was when our last mayor, Mayor Turncoat, when he was running, his opponent was, and our gay audience understands why we're calling him Mayor Turncoat, the day he left office, this is Leppert who's running for Senate, the day he left office, he turned on the gay and lesbian community. He just made vicious attacks. So he was running, his opponent was openly gay and had been on the city council for, I think, three terms. And it just really hadn't become an issue. And in the runoff, because there were 11 candidates originally, got down to two candidates. The two of them are running against each other. And above the fold headline is, sexual orientation not an issue in this race. Well, guess what happened?
It became an issue.
We have to take a break. I wasn't looking at the time. We're talking to Jennifer Renee Poole. She is the host of Queer Voices on KPFT in Houston. She's running for the Houston City Council this November. She's not an official candidate now. I don't have to have your opponents on. That's the technicality. But if any of your opponents...
I'm not official till Labor Day.
You're not official till Labor Day, but she will be running for city council in the fall. We'll be back. LaRon has his entertainment report and then is going to run off to downtown because he's one of these, he has a real job type people. And we'll be talking more. Jennifer, stick with us.
All right.
planning on taking your old car with you, why not donate it to the KNON Vehicle Donation Program? Just call 877-KNON-AUTO and we'll arrange everything from picking up the vehicle to providing the necessary paperwork. Your donation will help support KNON. 877-KNON-AUTO or on the web at knon.org.
KNON thanks Buyer Imaging Copier Solutions for their support of KNON. Buyer Imaging Copier Solutions provides KNON all our copy services. Buyer Imaging Copier Solutions sells, leases, rents, and services a full line of color and black and white Canon copiers with scanning, printing, and faxing capabilities. Buyer Imaging Copier Solutions offers wholesale packaging back to the consumer market in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. Overstock, demo models, and used equipment with full warranty is available. For more information, 214-431-5191 or BEYERimaging.com.
You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM HD1 in Dallas and Fort Worth, the voice of the people.
Alrighty, it's been 6 years now when Olympic gold medalist and three-time WNBA champ Cheryl Swoopes came out as a lesbian and worked as a spokesperson for the lesbian travel company Olivia Cruises. Now Cheryl just announced that she is engaged to a man.
You're kidding.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. Interestingly enough.
Engaged to do what?
To get married. And but here's the thing that people may have forgotten. Before she came out, she was married to a man. Mm-hmm. So she has been married to a man before. And it was after her marriage ended that she, in her words, says that she discovered her true self and started dating Alyssa Scott, who was an assistant coach for the Houston Comets. Now, as you might expect, she's receiving a lot of heat from some in the GLBT community. They're calling her everything from a lisexual to the new Anne Heche.
Okay. And she's on what team?
Well, she was for play for the Houston Comets.
Okay, Jennifer, do you know her?
No, I've met her, but I don't know her well.
Okay, so what's good?
I went to a number of the Comets game. We miss our Comets here, by the way.
I just want to make sure this isn't something that you people down in Houston do, is it? Like, Anise isn't going to suddenly go straight.
No, I
seriously doubt it.
I don't expect that with
Anise. Okay, so it's not a Houston thing.
Let's see, what is it called? There's been a pattern of behavior for way too many years.
Yeah, I agree with that, Jennifer. All right, last week, Jon Stewart and Cher were just among many who were saying what a lot of people are already thinking, and that suggesting that Michelle Bachmann's husband, Marcus, is gay.
I cannot believe that he would be gay.
I don't want to jump into presidential politics, but
feel free.
I'm very shy about this.
Yeah,
thing.
We know.
But as soon as I watched that little dance on TV and him speaking, my DAR went off.
Yeah, I think everybody's did. Yeah. And this news comes about with all of his. The news about his ministry, so-called gay reparative therapy clinics. Now, actress comedian Janine Garofalo has joined the chorus, and she said that he seemed quite gay to her, and that she went on to say that she thinks he's dealing with an issue that a lot of people who are vehemently anti-gay seem to be dealing with. And then when he talks about the youth experimentation and personal demons, he was referring to himself. So,
Yes. Well, he does have that personal experience. He kept saying that.
He did.
Without detailing it.
And last, author and gay activist Dan Savage has apologized for comments he made on HBO's Real Time with Bill Maher show. It was just after a segment he was talking about Republicans, and specifically, he was really going after Rick Santorum. He said under his breath, he wished that all Republicans were dead. And I don't think Bill Maher and the guests heard him, but the audience definitely heard him.
Oof.
So he apologized the next day. He said that, you know, he doesn't feel that way, that his dad was Republican. It was just stupid, rude, and a thoughtless remark. And he said that he had a drink before the show, and this is the first and last time he'd ever do that. Now, I hate when people do that. Dude, just apologize. Mm-hmm. Quit blaming it on something else. Like, oh, I smoked something before the show. It's like Mel Gibson. No, don't blame it on the alcohol.
Yeah, so I said it. It was wrong.
Yeah, just apologize and move on.
Right,
yeah.
And move on. Right.
Yeah.
And
well, all alcohol does is remove the inhibitions.
Exactly.
And the real person comes out sometime.
Exactly.
That was the entertainment report. You need to run, Lauren.
I got to run. It was nice talking to you, Jennifer.
Hey, good talking to you. Hope to see you down here in Houston sometime.
And with his kid, his two-year-old, that's not going to happen.
So. Okay. Well, you know, come down to visit.
You know, they are so stuck in Garland, we're lucky he gets here to Dallas to do the show for even 30 minutes. And we just heard from Patty. She overslept. How do you do that when it's a beautiful Wednesday morning here in Dallas? It's already, is it as hot down there as it is up here?
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah.
The difference is that we have to chew our air and swallow it.
That's
it's
true.
So thick with moisture.
That's true. It hasn't been that humid here. It's just been over 100. And some areas, actually, just outside of Dallas, like up in McKinney, they're saying might not even top 100 today. So we're kind of hoping. With the days,
oh, you're in having a cold front.
Yeah, yeah, we are. It's going to only be 99. And with the days getting shorter, now that's one thing I noticed. For the last couple of months, driving in, it's been light out already. It was dark driving in today, so days are getting shorter, so that helps a little bit with the heat also. We're talking to Jennifer Renee Poole. She is the host of Queer Voices on KPFT. She is running for the Houston City Council this fall. You're running for an at-large seat, aren't you?
Yes.
Now, I find that interesting, but that seat is the seat that seems to be the GLBT seat, doesn't it?
Well, I during the redistricting of city council and all, there were a lot of conversation, and because of my experience as a community activist, mm-hmm. I've worked with all different communities within the city, and there were arguments about creating Latino seats or Black seats mm-hmm. with this new redistricting, because we had to add two new district seats.
Because so your population is up, yeah.
Yeah, the population's up, and we had to add two new seats. And when that happens, who's giving up what? And there was this fight. And it came up the conversation about and an argument and accusation toward Anise that she was creating a, quote-unquote, air quotes, everybody, mm-hmm. Gay seat. And the fact is that there's not enough density in any given area to really guarantee any a gay individual any seat, no matter how you cut the city up. Now, you have seats that could lean one way or the other, but there was never the ability to get a gay seat. When I was questioned on it, I said, we already have a gay seat, mm-hmm. and that is at large.
And that's the seat that Anise first had, and now
yes.
Sue Lovell, who is also lesbian, she's had it for the last three terms, and she is term limited out.
Correct.
And now you're going for that seat.
Yes.
So that seat really has been the GLBT seat. Well, it's actually been the L seat.
It's been the L seat.
But elected by the GLBT community. But the GLBT community in Houston cannot possibly be enough people to elect one person to an at-large seat that covers the entire city.
No.
But Anise also wasn't elected just by the gay vote. So
exactly.
So how has that seat become the GLBT seat? What were the things that were done? I mean, maybe it was just good people running for office.
Well, I think that's where you start. You have good people who are qualified for the seat, for the work on city council, and they're running for office. So it's getting the message out that you're qualified. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what we're doing in my campaign is I'm qualified. And then you ask the question, why? And you go into all the details on the work I've done over 30 years here in Houston as a community activist in business. I'm a business owner. I have my own business. That's how I put bread on my table.
Mm-hmm.
And so plus my political activism. Well, you put all of that together, you get someone who's qualified to serve in the seat. Now, then the message is, are they gay, lesbian, transgender, bisexual, whatever it is? And the fact is, that really should not be the issue.
Mm-hmm.
It should be whether you're qualified for the job.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is basic non-discrimination. But in the case of the at-large seat, the Montrose has always been thought of as the traditional home of the GLBT community in Houston. Well, it is, in a sense, and it still is, the heart of the community.
Mm-hmm.
But the numbers aren't the same as they were 25 years ago. And the reason is because our community, we're professionals, we own businesses, so we don't just live in an enclave, we live all over the city.
Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing here in Dallas. Same thing here in Dallas. Oak Lawn is still the center of the gay and lesbian community, but as Oak Lawn gentrified, as a lot of the old stuff was torn down and the less expensive apartments were torn down to put up more expensive places, a lot of people who used to like just living near the bars had to go to live elsewhere. And our community is professional, so not everybody wants to live in the inner city neighborhood. Now the largest gay community seems to be Oak Cliff, which is southwest of downtown, and yet the business community is still centered in Oak Lawn. And I think that's kind of what has happened in Houston also. It was never as concentrated in Houston, but the business community is still in Montrose, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
It is. And another thing, a demographic change, if you will. About 20 years ago, more and more of we, GLBT people, you know, we had our partners, we'd been together a while, and we missed the having children.
Mm-hmm.
And so we started having families.
Right.
We started adopting. And suddenly, with children, we look at where we live and say, you know, I want to get them in the best school. Oh, is that ever so normal?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we wanted them in good schools, and so we moved to areas where we had good schools.
And that's LaRon.
That moved us out into other areas. Yeah,
that's LaRon. He and his partner, they had a surrogate. They had a baby about 2.5 years ago. She's now in her terrible twos, so he's getting his. but in a couple of years, she'll be in school, and they live out in the suburbs.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, one of the things, I'm a past president of the Houston GLBT Political Caucus.
Mm-hmm.
I was honored to serve in that position for 3 terms. And one of the things we had done, we took our database and we had it graphically represented and overlaid on the map of the Harris County.
Mm-hmm.
And Houston. Well, when you look at who the GLBT people that we had in our database, plus our friends and allies, and we looked at it over the city overlay, you saw that, yes, there's a concentration in Montrose. But there are also concentrations in areas you wouldn't have expected. And then you have the city itself as our supporters all over the city, which goes back to your original question.
Yeah.
About the at-large seat. To get enough individuals to elect an openly GLBT person to city council, those voters are scattered all over the city.
Mm-hmm.
So an at-large race makes sense.
Huh. And I just find that interesting. We, on the other hand, have been successful in electing gay people in different seats. We had as many as 3 out of our 14 city council people at one time who were gay. But we've been more successful up here electing them from the single-member district. So I just think that's a fascinating difference. And we don't have at-large seats here. They were ruled unconstitutional by the Federal Election Commission or whoever it is that we have to approve those seats, you know, in Texas, by the Voter Rights Act. And so we don't have the single member districts we used to back in the 80s, but they did away with those here.
We had an agreement. The city, we are operating and continue to operate under an agreement under the Voting Rights Act in a court decision of 1979,
mm-hmm.
which made single member districts, but also allowed the city to retain their five at-large seats.
Mm-hmm.
So we still operate under that. And there's talk about doing away with them as a referendum and just having them divide the city up into larger, smaller districts, but more larger council,
mm-hmm.
And have the at-large just turned into districts. However, we have a strong mayoral system here, and so it wouldn't necessarily add to voter representation.
Right, right, which it does here. But the other thing is you haven't had a problem with electing minorities to those citywide seats.
Oh, no. Stephen Kleinberg out at Rice University does the studies and has been for over almost 30 years now. And he has indicated that the demographic that represents Houston, Texas, is the prototype for the rest of the nation.
Hmm.
Our diversity is a pattern that you'll see all over the nation. And one of his statements I always like to quote is the fact that how we in Houston learn to govern ourselves with our diversity,
mm-hmm.
will be the pattern for what the rest of the nation will need to do.
Hmm. Okay. Actually, Houston is a pattern in that New York's, one of the strong candidates for New York's next mayor is Christine Quinn, who's their city council president, and she's a lesbian. I'm kind of proud that a Texas city would be the model for New York and that Anise can be the role model that, yes, you can win in a large city for somebody in New York. But I'm also a little bit, so that takes away our title of largest city in the world with...
it's okay.
Yeah, I guess it is.
There's no feud between us.
I guess. But really, she looked at... She wasn't considered seriously as a candidate, even though she's the city council president, is second in command in the city after the mayor, basically, because they don't have a vice mayor or mayor pro tem. She's it. Isn't it interesting that it wasn't until Anise was elected that she was starting to be considered real seriously?
And that was a lot of what they said about Anise. I mean, as controller of the city, she was the second most powerful elected official, mm-hmm. in the city of Houston. I mean,
right.
She the controller is totally independent of the mayor,
mm-hmm.
but the controller controls the funds that council gets to spend.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if the controller says you don't have the money, it doesn't matter what the council does. You know, there's not funds to do what they want to do. So even with that, they were saying that Anise can't win.
Right.
You know, and there were elements that said she was unqualified.
Right.
But yet, fortunately, what came out of the election was she was the most qualified probably ever to run for mayor.
What was Bill White's experience before he was elected?
Say that again?
What was Bill White's experience before he was elected mayor? Was he on the council?
He was a businessman and developer.
So he had no city experience?
Basically, no.
Oh, okay. He's a nice guy.
Now if you look back into the mayors of the city, they came from the business community. Yeah,
Dallas, too. We need to take a break. We're talking to Jennifer Renee Poole. She is the host of Queer Voices in Houston on KPFT, Monday nights from 7 to 9, are you?
At 9 to 11.
On
Monday nights, Queer Voices. 90.1 FM. You can listen to us on kpft.org.
And this is 89.3 KNON-FM, Dallas-Fort Worth. We'll be back. Jennifer, stick with us. We'll be back with more right after this.
KNON 89.3 FM is broadcasting Democracy Now!, a national daily radio news program covering today's news and issues. Democracy Now! Is hosted by Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez, broadcast worldwide on over 900 stations, pioneering the largest community media collaboration in the country. Democracy Now! Can be heard on KNON Mondays through Thursdays from 8 to 9 a.m. Not the same old news heard everywhere else. It's news of the people for the people. Democracy Now!, Monday through Thursday mornings at 8 a.m. on KNON 89.3 FM.
Dallas Voice, a Texas LGBT media company, has covered news, entertainment, culture, and opinion in the North Texas LGBT community for more than 25 years. Every week, Dallas Voice reaches more than 45,000 North Texas LGBT readers in print. DallasVoice.com informs more than 170,000 visitors every month with breaking news appearing throughout the day, every day in the Instant Tea blog. Dallas Voice is proud to support KNON Community Radio.
You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM HD1 in Dallas and Fort Worth, the voice of the people.
And this is Lambda Weekly. I'm David Taffet, and I am speaking to Jennifer Renee Poole. Jennifer is running for city council in Houston for an at-large seat. If elected, you'd be the first transgender. You would not be the first transgender person in public office in Houston because of an appointment that Anise made, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and that is Phyllis Fry.
I was the, and I want to be fair about that because I love Phyllis.
Uh-huh.
Mayor White appointed me to the Buildings and Standards Commission 4 years ago.
Oh, okay.
And I was the first transgender ever, openly transgender, ever appointed to a city commission.
Huh, okay. And Phyllis Fry was appointed to a municipal court seat earlier this year. And now you're running for this. You'd be the first person elected, I guess.
Yes, Houston.
Yeah, yeah.
There's only been, for city council, there's only been one other who ran, and that was in 1989.
Wow.
And that was Catherine McGuire.
Huh. I didn't know about that one. Right now, one of the transgender, this isn't a transgender issue, one of the, well, it partially is a transgender issue. One of the issues going on in Houston right now, or centered in Houston, has to do with John Bice. And we talked about him on our show last week with somebody who had written a book about hate crimes. But 20 years ago, John Broussard was brutally murdered. They said basically that John Bice had taken and gutted him like a deer. But it was a brutal murder. John Bice was convicted, given 40 years in prison. He's served 20 and about to get out on parole. Equality Texas has been running a campaign to write letters to the parole board to reverse their decision, keep him in prison at least another 5 to 10 years. Is there much of a swelling of support for keeping him in jail in Houston, at least in the gay and lesbian community down there, or is that something Equality Texas is doing, do you think, and they're banging their heads against the wall?
Well, there are a number of organizations down here who have whose memberships have actually voted to issue letters to the parole board asking them not to release him.
Hmm.
Prior to their decision and then again after their decision at a recent caucus meeting here in Houston, they reiterated that support for him to be kept in jail. Actually, what they were doing was supporting the mother,
mm-hmm.
who has always asked that he remain in prison at least as long as her son was alive, which
right.
was 27 years.
Right, right. Her son was 27 when he was so brutally murdered. There have been a couple of other hate crimes down there that involve transgender people, and they've been mostly transgender people of color. How has the Houston Police Department, how good are they at working with the GLBT community at solving these cases?
Well, in the 30 years I've been in Houston, because you got to look at history.
Yeah.
30 years ago, you know, what they would say is man in dress, you know, found in ditch, murdered. That, you know, very, the news was that way.
Right.
The police said it that way.
Right.
And we objected to it.
Mm-hmm.
As time has gone on, there's been a greater sensitivity. A lot of the news stations, and I'm going to jump, you know, 30 years to now.
Right.
Most of the news stations, if they see something like that in a report from the police, they will make a phone call to verify that this was a trans person, and they will try to be sensitive in the use of pronouns and in the description. One of the appointments that I received from Mayor Parker was to the Police Advisory Committee. Now, the police advisor, I was the first GLBT person appointed to that committee since a niece was on it, which is over, you know, 15 years.
Sure.
So this was an opportunity for the GLBT voice to be there at least once a month to advise and talk with the executive chiefs of police and the chief of police about issues and bring them forward, because that is a public, in effect, a public forum to bring issues forward.
Mm-hmm.
And we have seen a great deal. When one of the last murders was when Myra was murdered, brutally murdered, down near the Montrose area.
Mm-hmm.
And
when was that?
That is a little over a year ago
okay.
now.
Uh-huh.
And nothing was being done. And, of course, it went out basically a cross-dresser, man in dress was murdered. And it was all of the news was very twisted in that way, twisted from the point of view of a transgender person, that this person had been living and working as a woman for many years.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like this was a one-night deal. And that brought a lot of furor. Also, there was really newspapers came out, well, there's no suspects, nothing to follow up, no evidence, no suspects, nothing to follow up on, which meant that it was going to be swept under the rug one more time. Because at that moment in time, there were 7 transgender murders that had never been solved here in Houston in recent time. And so with the entire community was in an uproar about it, all of the Equality Texas, all of the local GLBT political organizations and clubs and support groups all started making an issue out of this. And we brought it to the chief and said, you know, what's going on? This isn't the way it is. Where are we on the investigation? And people started asking the questions. We had a rally down there and a memorial for Myra, and it got some action. The police started working harder at it, and I can announce that at the last Police Advisory Committee meeting, the chief announced that they had made an arrest, and they had the evidence. Turned out the gentleman, whom I can't remember the name right now, was a serial murderer of transgenders.
Hmm.
They were able to close 3 transgender murders.
Okay, so 3 of the 7, anyway, and he might be involved in some of the others, just no evidence for that.
That's all they have evidence for.
Okay. And that's good to hear that somebody was finally arrested. When was it that he was actually arrested?
About a month and a half ago.
About a month and a half. Okay.
Yeah. I want to say one thing on behalf of the chief. They are still having problems. The executive staff, the chief, want to do the right thing as far as pronouns and the use around transgenders. However, what we are discovering in dealing with this issue is that when someone is murdered, they go into the ME, the medical examiner, and the medical examiner, they call it exactly the way the physical evidence is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they take the dress off, and if this transgender person has male genitalia, it's a man in a dress.
Mm-hmm.
And it's what they put down on their information that starts it, because the ME's report comes out, it's a police report, the news media picks it up, and they just put out what's written down.
Mm-hmm.
So we found we've got some additional work to do to educate and sensitize those individuals.
And you so know, it's interesting that even when a group is not sensitive to the issue but is not trying to discriminate, we had an example of that here on our DART, our Public Transportation Board. There was a complaint from a transgender employee, and so we were campaigning to put in non-discrimination, including gender identity and expression. And everybody in the board, I went to one meeting, everybody in the board was all for not discriminating, but the discussion that they were having, a few of us were sitting there, and we were looking at each other and just going, at the end of the meeting, we got up and we went, huh? And we went outside of the committee room and we were talking about it and realized these people don't know what they're talking about. And when I say don't know what they're talking about, they just didn't even understand what the term transgender meant. They just weren't trying to discriminate against anybody. They just didn't know who you were.
Exactly. Here, several weeks ago, Houston ISD, their board voted to expand the language in the student code of conduct,
right,
which is good, the bullying,
right,
to include sexual orientation, gender identity, and or expression,
mm-hmm,
which is a totally inclusive language.
Sure.
They also did a first read and vote, which this was a unanimous vote, on the same language in their employment policy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is for me, this has been a personal issue that I took up 3 years ago, and that vote was the culmination of my efforts, as well as, you know how you do that. You don't ever do anything alone, but
sure,
hundreds of people working behind the scenes for 3 years to make that night possible.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing I had to do was educate the administration and the board members of HISD what transgender meant, or gender identity,
mm-hmm,
and or expression, and why we needed and or expression, mm-hmm, in there. And that was an entire educational process that I had to go through. Once that educational process was complete and they got it, they understood, and they were all for it.
Mm-hmm.
The general counsel of HISD just absolutely said, it's covered. We have it covered in our policies now. Argued. We had a 4-page brief saying that, proving how it was.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't address the issue because she didn't truly understand what gender identity or expression was all about.
Right.
And, but once she understood, she has been one of our biggest proponent.
Right, and very often, because that's what it was on the dartboard, there was no intention to discriminate. And I mean, that was clear from some of the discussions. And they just didn't know. It was like so accidental that they were discriminating. And when I say accidental, because they didn't understand who they were talking to. So, or who they were talking about. We only have a couple of minutes left. We're talking to Jennifer Renee Poole. She is running for city council in Houston for an at-large seat, but she's also the host of Queer Voices, which has been on almost as long as Lambda Weekly has been on, and it's Houston's gay and lesbian evening talk show. You have guests on like we do.
Yes.
When I think back over the years, some of the surprise guests that we had this local group on one time who kind of did well, the Dixie Chicks. But it was long before they were the Dixie Chicks. They were just the Dixie Chicks. They were just this local group. Who are some of the guests that you've had on that you've just really enjoyed, or just really or went somewhere after showing up on your show or something?
Well, I was one that, that immediately comes to mind when I got Barney Frank to on an interview. He had been quoted as saying that there are no transgenders. They're just gay men who like to wear dresses.
Oh,
And so I took issue with that.
I guess you did.
And so, and this was soon after I got, I was a co-host on the show. And so I just kept calling and kept working at it. And he came to Houston for an event, and I went, paid the money so I could go to the event so I could go up and see him and talk to him. And I got him on the radio to ask him about that and to straighten out his comments and to get him to talk about other things. And he's since been on the show two other times.
Huh. That's
which it's amazing how, as a co-host of a radio show, if people have something to say, they want the opportunity to say it.
Sure.
And it's been good to do that. There are so many, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
I just love to have people on. And if I see something on TV or I read something in the paper that interests me, that's GLBT spin, I would like to get them on the radio. Ask them the questions that people out outside of the station or maybe haven't met the person will ask. That's always fun.
Sure. We are out of time. Jennifer, I want to thank you for being with us. Good luck in your election. You'll come on our show again. I was on
Absolutely.
Your show. I had a great time on your show, too. This is the part of the show where our producer, Thomas Pearson, comes in and disavows any knowledge of our existence. Next week on our show, we have Sean Hubbard. He is running for the U.S. Senate for Kate Bailey Hutchison's seat. Jennifer, again, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the KNON Morning Line. We'd like to remind you that the views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNON 89.3 FM.